Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I mean, it's just embarrassing. I mean, to see a Major League Baseball club play like that. Like, look, if you have bad pitchers and they get beat by good hitters, and obviously Bellinger and Dodgers players are good hitters, like, that's going to happen. I mean, I think we can all understand that. But to just have fundamentals of the game just not be even, I mean, not only not executed, it's like there's no thinking. There's no brain. There's no brain of the Phillies last night. That was really bad. Let's go to the phones.
You have no chance to beat a team like the Dodgers unless you do all the little stuff.
I mean, that's a joke. Let's talk to Rick in Abington, who kicks us off. Rick, your reaction to last night in the season?
Well, last night we were down there. I coached the Carpenter Cup softball team, and we were introduced before the game.
Congratulations, by the way. I saw some of that ceremony. That was good stuff.
Yeah, it was. And the Phillies did a really nice job. The girls were excited to go down to see the Phillies, play the Dodgers. Once we got up to the stands and sitting down, got to that fourth inning, and the way they played, not running out, the balls and everything, the hits, the girls were like looking at me like going, is this the way it's supposed to be? Because we as high school coaches teach, run out everything, know the number of outs. And it was just sad. And I'll be honest with you, with the Dodgers fans there yelling and screaming, most of those kids left by the end of the fourth inning.
Well, that's incredible. I mean, listen, it was one of those games where a lot of people left early.
That was a disaster, that fourth inning. Never seen anything like it. How about it's a shame that they had to see that. That kids, you know, had to witness that debacle.
It is, because when you're out there preaching about Major League athletes and how they play the game and how hard they play the game, and then they go and watch that, and then to see the kids leave, that was the sad part about it.
Yeah.
They just didn't even want to stay. You know, it was just a bad effort.
Yeah, no, it was, Rick. Appreciate the phone call, man. Let's go to Carl in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Carl.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing today?
Not great. I'm disturbed.
I'm right there with you guys. I've been a Phillies fan for just as long as I've been an Eagles fan. And I could accept every single year back then that knowing how the Phillies would play, I'm like, all right, the Phillies are the Phillies. But when we got our first title back in 08, I was in New York doing a job for at the time. And it felt so great because I was around a whole bunch of Yankee fans. And to see my city, you know, celebrating the way they were celebrating was a beautiful thing.
Yep.
I'm back home in Jersey, and I'm sitting up here, and I'm saying to myself, I didn't even look at the game last night. I just, like, the ESPN app went off, and I looked at my phone, and I saw the score, and I was like, what the hell are y'all doing?
Yeah, yep. Believe me, Carl, it was worse watching it live than just observing the box score. Trust me.
No.
How that box score came together was a disgrace.
Listen. I'm so ready for Eagles football, like, right now. They're in a system where they're saying this year for one of the games, for the Eagles games this year, where the Eagles and Phillies are kind of tied in. They said the Eagles have to be away in order for the Phillies to be at home. You know what? Can we find some type of way to reverse that, to have the Eagles at home and have the Phillies away, like far away, so Matt Klintak and them can get their heads out their asses and do something about this mess? Because it's a hot disgrace.
All right, Carl. Appreciate the phone call, man. What do you think that sound was back there? It was quite a sound.
Some clicking and whatnot.
What's happening there?
It sounded like he had stuff hanging in his truck, and it was clanging around. Hey, how about this? This is a great fact. Fascinating fact. Okay. All eight Dodgers starting position players got at least a hit, a run scored, and an RBI.
Wow.
Seven of the eight starting position players had a multi-hit night. Seven of eight multi-hit night.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
This is against Zach Eflin, the guy that has at times looked viable this year.
But is really trending in the wrong direction, just like he did last year.
Absolutely. Yeah. But who are we looking to save this for Zach Eflin, for this pitching staff?
Well, John, that was
a guy in Chris Young who was an analytics guy. He was an assistant pitching coach last year, the first time he ever coached at any level.
Yeah.
And he's the guy that's somehow going to turn this around? Yes, I know we're not hitting. I know that there are other problems. But there's a very easy, obvious, glaring problem with this team that right now it makes a lot of sense. You need to take action. You need to do something. Please.
All right, let's go to Mike who's with us. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, John, Joe, James.
Mike.
Pleasantries first. The Phils ruined a beautiful night for baseball. It was nice spending time with you at the game.
It was beautiful.
Nice to see how you make everybody comfortable, spend time with everybody. So it makes it more like talking sports with your friends than a radio show. So
good. Well, Mike, cool. good seeing you too, Mike.
Boy, was that game aggravating. You know, and you're playing with Franco not running out. He almost made it, and he didn't run.
Yeah.
So had he run, he would have made it.
Absolutely.
And then for Kapler to say he's going to check his groin to see if there's anything there, I can tell him now there's nothing there, obviously. I think I understand what the problem with the field is offensively. You know, it's the political correctness. Apparently they think offense is offensive to people, so they don't want to employ any. You know, so it's a bit of a problem. And, you know, the funny thing is, after the meet and greet, I went over to the other side and sat in the shade before we came back over to where the seats are. And we're talking with one of the attendants there. And I was just saying about how much better Cesar Hernandez has been playing defensively. And then those two plays in that one inning where, and I watched some of the highlights too, John. So I was like, well, he was over, but had he hustled, he could have made it to first.
I don't know, Mike. He was really far over. When I first saw it live, I thought...
He was at a disadvantage with the waves lined up.
Yeah, I thought, oh, man, Cesar should be on first. But then when I saw the replay, it's like it's almost impossible to get to first in that amount of time.
I thought so, too. But I thought the replay, it looked like he just wasn't sure. And then, you know, his hesitation.
Well, there was that, too. He did hesitate.
Well,
yeah.
No, but, okay, I agree with you. But that's also, like, part of baseball. There's going to be some, I mean... I know you got to expect everything and you got to be ready for everything. He probably didn't expect a suicide squeeze and you hesitate for half a nanosecond. And next thing you know, you don't get the first base.
But that's the thing. Like, why is it that it seems like the teams that we play do expect these things and they are prepared?
Dodgers are better.
It's
better
a lack of preparation. Yeah. And how about the fact that the Dodgers, that fourth inning was the perfect balance for them offensively of analytics and small ball. Right?
You're right.
They figured it out. They were doing both, and it worked with great success. This is a Dodgers team that is doing the hot zone stuff at the plate. Their approach is what we tried to do, and we abandoned on whatever it was, June 23rd. We said, you know what? We're going to scrap this because it's too hard. The guys are thinking too much. We're just going to go back to hunting fastballs. Forget the hot zone stuff.
Right.
Well, the Dodgers do the hot zone stuff. The difference is they've got people there who are teaching them to do it right.
And do a suicide squeeze and do a double steal.
These players how to do it right. It comes down to coaching, to them learning. I don't think they're deficient at learning. I can't say that. I don't know that. I know that there's... If anything needs to change, if we can get to where everyone else is, you have to have coaches who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's obvious that we don't.
Seltzer, what's your biggest takeaway from last night? What hit you as you wake up this morning?
Man, biggest takeaway. I mean, just first and foremost, it's that the Dodgers are just so much better. And I knew it going in. I've said it for a while. But pitching, hitting, fielding, running, coaching, everything you can do in baseball, the Dodgers are better. They're just better.
Why is it that the Dodgers, why is it that the hot zone stuff works for them and can't work
for us?
They're
better coached. They're better hitters. I mean, they have a much better lineup. They have much more talented players. They have so much more depth. Like, their roster 25 guys deep. Any of those guys can make an impact. They're fourth and fifth starters. They're sixth and seventh starters. No joke. Ross Stripling, who is their starting against Nolan game four, is like their seventh starter, essentially, because they've had some injuries. He'd be the number two starter on the Phillies. I'm not even kidding. Like, they're just a trillion times better than the Phillies. It's not even the same type of team.
You looking forward to Vince Velasquez tonight, James?
Man, against Walker Buehler, who's a young superstar, was an all-star, World Series superstar last year in the playoffs. Like, they just have stars and talent. They've got guys in the minors. It is a real difference in terms of one organization and then the other.
All right, let's talk to Neil in Newark, Jersey. What's up, Neil?
Gentlemen, thanks as always for taking my call.
Thanks for calling,
John,
Neil.
John, the fury that you have this morning is so refreshing because it's exactly the way I felt watching that game last night.
And
the thing that jumps out at me, besides the fact the Dodgers outclass us in every way, is if you look at the Dodgers offense, this is kind of what we thought the Phillies might have been.
Yeah.
Guys, you know, the way they bludgeoned us, get on base, you know, drive people in. This offense from the Dodgers offense from 1 to 9 is really what our offense should have been or could have been, and it's not. And that's very frustrating, especially considering over the last 2 years, we spent over $600 million, and we have a 500 record show for it. The second thing I want to bring up is, besides the fact that the Dodgers' just 1-9 offense is so significantly better, look at what happens when you have a complete team in every aspect. You have exceptionally dominant starting pitching, exceptionally good hitters in the lineup that move runners over, which apparently is a foreign concept in sabermetrics baseball, plus a bullpen that doesn't give up leads. I mean, there's a reason why there's 30, you know, plus games over 500. And the last thing I want to say is this. This falls squarely on the shoulders, and I have not been, when I've called many times about getting rid of Kapler or Klintak, but I have to say, you know, you can't have a team on quicksand, and this is a sinking ship really fast, and I think it's time to make a move. And I know sometimes organizations will make a move just for the sake of making a move, and it doesn't really do anything. But in this case,
I agree with you.
I think it's time to set an example. If that means Kapler has to go, if Klintak has to go, heck, fire every positional coach that you want. I think it's time to make a statement. And one last thing, John, you know, you understand this better than anybody. When you hear the euphemism players coach, that's just a euphemism for a guy that doesn't have discipline and doesn't control this locker room. And I think Gabe Kapler is, in the worst sense of the word, a player's coach. I don't think they listen to him. And I'm going to even take it a step further. I don't think they respect him as an equal. I think they look at this guy as someone who's going to allow a permissive locker room culture where they're not going to hold them accountable, where he's not going to get in guys' faces. Think of it this way. Last night during a 16-2 ball game, 16-2, he gets angry because one of our pitchers throws at him. Where's that fury and anger at his own players for not stepping up?
No, I agree with you on that, Neil. I think that's a great point, man.
Where's the fury and anger about, you know, and again, he doesn't have to be a screamer and a yeller. No one's saying he's got to be psychotic. But where's that fire in the belly to tell his own players to step up? Where's the fire in the belly having a meeting with his own players to say, listen, this is unacceptable. We need to, you know, to light a spark.
Yeah,
and the problem is that he this is where he decides to show his personality is when one of our guys plunks one of the Dodgers.
That's a great listen, Neil. It's a tremendous phone call, John. In a year and a half of Gabe Kapler, I can't listen. The camera's not going to catch everything. So to be fair to him, we don't have on our TV screen a 3.5 hour camera on Gabe Kapler. But I do think Comcast does a pretty damn good job. I'm showing you a lot of inside stuff that sometimes initially might get missed, but they'll say, hey, we caught this. We want to show you this. They do a good job of that.
Yeah.
In a year and a half, I don't remember one time when Gabe Kapler snapped his head back to the dugout, meaning he's in the dugout facing the field, snaps his head back, and you see a what the bleep's going on here to the 20 or so guys sitting in the dugout. I don't remember that one time.
Because it's not happened. It definitely hasn't happened.
Right, I agree with you. I don't think it's happened either.
Yes.
And, like, last night requires it.
We've never even seen him get into it with a player. Like, we've never even seen him, a player coming off the field, him grabbing me like, what are you doing out there? Like, we've never even seen that. The only emotion we've ever seen from him was the two times he got tossed out in a week. That's it.
I mean, you see more emotion from
Tom.
That was to an
that was tactical,
and to an umpire, not to his team.
You're
We've never seen him go after his guys. Like Lou Piniella, that would happen like once a week with Lou Piniella. Like just one time, someone does a run coming off the field and gets in your face and says something to you. Like, wouldn't that make you feel like a little better?
Well, I don't know. Is this Klentak telling him that this is how he's supposed to approach this?
I think this is just Gabe's philosophy.
I don't know about that, James. I don't know.
But we don't know. I know if that were me, there is no way that I could contain myself to the degree that he has.
Yeah.
Like, even if it is Matt Klentak saying, listen, we gotta come at this with an even temper, and we're going to keep it even keel. And, you know, you have to be on the player's side and show them that you're going to back them up. Despite that, there is no way that I could have watched Mikel Franco walk off at the end of that third inning last night and not grabbed him and said something screaming in his face, like, once again, you let us down. Once again, you're doing the exact same things that benched you in the past. You need to be better. And since you're not going to play the rest of the night. Like, that's what needs to be done.
It would
repeatedly. It's too late now.
Well, it would send a message to the other guys, the other 24 guys. So, you lose that opportunity with Segura a month and a half ago, whatever it was. Listen, John, I just think people respond. I know I've always responded the most to people that are hardest on me. I just do. I don't enjoy it in the moment. But it's just, I always, like, in school, the teachers that were hardest on me were always the teachers that got the most out of me. They just were.
Right.
It just drives me nuts, man. Let's go to Sarah in Fairmount. What's up, Sarah?
Sarah, not there.
All right, let's go to Adam, who's with us. Adam, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Adam.
It was a pleasure to be out there at the game with you guys yesterday
callers. It was really, really nice to be out there taking it all in, and then the game happened.
Yep. Yeah, too bad it wasn't under better circumstances. Maybe next time we need to plan it when we're playing the Mets.
that's a good point.
I mean, yeah, that guy hustles and is safe there. That could change the game.
Yep.
So if Capper does nothing, then what's the point of any other guys trying or stepping up trying to be that guy? Because nobody's holding anybody accountable.
Yep.
We're getting outplayed, out-hustled, out-pitched, and out-coached.
And it's the second straight year of a massive drop. If this was a standalone, then I'd have my eye less on Kapler. But, I mean, at some point, we do have to kind of look back at last year and say, how do you explain a team for 4.5 months, probably playing better than they were, granted, but then completely collapsing in the final month and a half? What's up with that? So what's going on that 2 years in a row, and listen, it hasn't been a complete collapse yet. They're still above 500, but 2 years in a row, you see a massive downturn. What's going on there?
He's Chip Kelly of Major League Baseball, Gabe Kapler.
You know,
my opinion.
You know, to be fair, like the reason we felt very similarly to this prior to the Phillies sweeping the Mets, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, we did.
Like there were people calling for Kapler's head then, and then the Mets series happened. We won 4 against them in a row. I think that's what it was.
Yeah, it was 4.
And that caused me to say, hey, you know what? It's not just the Mets. They have gotten things together, and there are guys who are getting hot, and they're figuring it out. And once they get back from this All-Star break, it'll be different. Well, guess what? It's not. And we don't get to play the Mets every night. And when you play teams that actually have good coaching and have guys who hustle, like, that's the bare minimum.
Yeah, it is.
I don't care if you're good or not. Just go out there and try your hardest. That wins baseball games. We don't have that.
Yeah.
The
totally
bare
agree.
Minimum.
Adam, good seeing you last night, man. Thanks for the phone call. Thanks for being there last night.
Absolutely.
Appreciate
Take care,
it,
guys.
Thank you, man. John and James, what a great time last night with a tremendous crew.
Great crew.
Of listeners to our show who are there. I mean, really a top-notch group of people. Very kind. Met a lot of people for the first time. It was Yeah. Really good stuff.
It was great to put faces with voices,
yeah. And we could not have had more fun at a 16-2 game. I think we're probably the only people there who had fun last night.
True.
It was all because of the crew we were
Shout
with.
Out to PJ Wheelahan's providing the wings. That was good stuff. John was on the fan of, not the fan of vision, but they took a picture of you and they did
there were a lot of wing things. A lot of great wings.
Yeah,
my children loved the wings too.
Yeah, you had your kids there. It was really good. I mean,
Ben hung out.
Yeah. Ben,
that's right.
Ben Timoshenko.
That's right. So very, very, very good stuff. And listen, I'll just say as a talk show host here on WIP, when you get to meet people that listen to your show and I guess hopefully enjoy the show and then really get to know people on a personal level, it's gratifying. So I appreciate everyone that was out there last night. 888-729-9494. John, we've got a pair of tickets to give away today to Iron Maiden, Legacy of the Beast Tour. It's taking place a couple Tuesdays from now, actually 2 weeks from now, on July the 30th at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets are on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. Again, that's WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com if you want to buy the Iron Maiden tickets. And we'll be giving them away all week on the show as we did yesterday, today, and the rest of the week. And a happy birthday today, John, to that Phoebe Cates. Notable for a few things.
Being in Joe's wheelhouse.
I guess she would be in my wheelhouse. See, the problem is I have forgotten about Phoebe Cates for the most part because she's pretty much disappeared.
I mean, she could have been such a huge star, too, and it was just...
Yeah.
She married Kevin Kline, and that was it.
I don't know why. Yeah, she's 56 years old and just bye-bye Hollywood. It's just like nothing. You never see Phoebe Cates anymore. And when you saw her, by the way.
Phoebe had it working.
certainly one of those famous people that disappeared. Let's go today with best answer to the question of who disappeared. The person with the best answer is going to win the Iron Maiden tickets. Richie Seltzer, when you guys think of someone, guy or gal, that had some prominence and then just, and by the way, I'm not talking about like Jimmy Hoffa, okay?
Right, like actually disappeared.
Disappeared and you never know where his body is. Like, okay, I get it. Like Jimmy Hoffa, okay. But like that, I'm talking about someone that's alive or maybe has passed away, but was a celebrity that just stopped being in the limelight.
And certainly, even if maybe they're still in the limelight, but just doing stuff that no one knows about or whatever.
Like, I'll give you one. Yasmin Bleeth.
Oh, Drop Zone.
Where is she?
Love Drop Zone.
I mean, Yasmin Bleeth, Baywatch, she was obviously gorgeous, and it's hard to imagine there wouldn't have been a bright future ahead beyond. I looked it up a couple minutes ago. 2003 is the last movie she made.
Wow, really?
2003. You're going
on
a decade and a half. No Yasmin Bleeth.
Wow.
Nothing. Now, who knows? Maybe she went off and had a family. I have no idea. But, John, when you think of someone of notoriety who just, boom, gone, who comes to mind for you? Best answer by the end of the show, 888-729-9494, is winning the Iron Maiden tickets. What do you think of, John?
Where did Cameron Diaz go?
She's still around, no?
She is still around enough.
I mean,
haven't seen her anywhere.
Really?
No.
I mean, not as much. All right. Well, Cameron Diaz. Okay. I mean, that doesn't hit me top of mind, but okay. Seltzer, when you think of someone that disappeared.
Oh, I'm still reeling from his Cameron Diaz thing. I feel like she's done stuff really recently.
No, I'm telling you.
So 2014.
Well, that's 5 years.
So 5 years.
Yeah, that's
2014.
Years. That's a long time ago, actually.
So anyway, mine is 2004. Mine is a legit long time.
Who?
You're a guy, Joe. Greatest voice of a generation.
Mr. Tyson!
It's been 15 years.
Yeah, well, that's
like 90.
But that's
like
88. He's semi-retired.
don't pick on the old.
But 73, you're telling me a 73-year-old Gene Hackman couldn't have made movies? 74-year-old Gene Hackman? 75-year-old?
That's
about
as good an answer as Yasmin
Bleeth.
Give me
Gene Hackman. I need Gene Hackman in my life.
What is this? He goes with the old guy. I love Hackman, who was also, of course, an Unforgiven.
15 years.
Guys, think about Unforgiven. Eastwood?
Freeman.
Hackman, Freeman.
Yeah, it's a good group.
That is heavyweight right there. All right, who disappeared? Best answer by the end of the show, and I hope it's a better answer than old man Gene Hackman. And
a great answer.
5 years, Cameron
Gene,
Diaz.
Come on, Gene Hackman was at the height of his movie-making game. And he's
Cameron
gone.
Diaz was like the biggest star in Hollywood.
She was big. Yeah, she was very big.
And she hasn't done a movie since 2014.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Brookhaven. What's up, Kevin? We saw you last night.
Joe and John, how you guys doing?
Kevin. It was great to see you, man.
It was surprisingly a pleasure. It was a pleasure to meet you. And I'm shocked to say that, Kevin.
I was actually disappointed your shoes weren't as small as I thought they were.
See, I tell people all the time, Richie spreads falsities about me, but, you know.
You definitely stuffed your shoes, though. There definitely was some toilet paper down there or something. Hey, Joe, and just so you know, that Delco night out still stands for you.
I will take it under advisement. I appreciate the invitation. And we'll stop the conversation right there.
Well, I was going to say, do you all remember my bodyguard I had there with me?
Yes. Oh, I thought you said body garb. I thought you were talking about your Eagles ring.
Yeah, no, my buddy. But listen, I hope trained him. You see how big he is, man? He hasn't had a neck in like 3 years and all. Joe, I can get you to that.
Get me to what? What is that?
Want to put some weight on? Maybe get you bulky up and all?
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that.
Try to help you out the best I can so you know you don't get injured like opening a door anymore or anything.
That's true. All right, Kevin, what'd you
We're
make
doing a puzzle?
What'd you make of the Phillies game last night?
I'm glad I left when I did. That's the first point. Because I missed the second half of the massacre. I was there for the first half. But it was just disappointing. I mean, I've got to talk about something better, which is the Sixers. So Joe, what do you think of this roster? Do you really think it's as good as you think it is?
Yeah,
like,
listen, I think
I don't know too much about, like, Josh. I know Horford,
Richardson's a good player. I think it's a better starting five than last year. You got the two main bench guys back. Look, you need a backup point guard, and you need really the main thing you need is just continued growth of two things. One is how the guys will play together as a team, which, of course, is kind of a new team. The other thing is you just need improvement from Ben Simmons and conditioning from Joel Embiid. So I actually think the Sixers will be in the finals. I think there's two teams that have a shot. It's the Sixers and the Bucks. I think they're the only two teams that have a shot. And I give the Sixers a leg up on the Bucks to get to the finals.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I really think it probably comes down to those two. Maybe Boston tries to slide in or tries to put up a fight and all, but I think in the end it could be down to those two. And if it is those two in the conference finals, dude, that's going to be a good
it's going to be fun.
Series.
All right, Kevin, who disappeared?
Do you guys want movie or sport?
Whatever you want. Who disappeared?
First, I just want to say that I'm going to try to get those rings for you guys as soon as possible.
Thank you.
And the second thing is, how about that Steve Urkel? What the hell has he been at?
Jaleel White.
Interesting answer.
Great answer. Where is Jaleel
White? Didn't he do that celebrity boxing thing that Screech did?
Sounds
remember
like
that
a, perfect
a while
example
back?
Of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the last I saw him. And he was pretty big.
It was like a decade ago at least, right?
Well, I think so.
At least,
yeah.
Right?
Jaleel White. Let's go to Judy in Mount Laurel. Hey, Judy.
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Hi, Judy.
Hi, John. I'm with you. I admire your passion and your ire. And if we could transfer some of it from us and onto that field and that organization, like, it's crazy. But they need to tear down from the inside out. And organizationally, they need to rehaul because this is just unacceptable. I mean, back in April, my kids were making their own handshakes. They were excited. Yeah. They couldn't wait.
Yep.
So I get tickets back in April for the game tomorrow night. They're not going. Did you see the game? Why would you buy tickets? They suck. What if you didn't hustle? Grandma would have beat you. Because my mom was our softball coach. Like, you heard it for days if there was something that you did wrong. Like, you knew for days you were going to hear it. And they knew I was a shortstop. They're like, wait, you told the outfield. The catcher told you guys, and then you have to tell the outfield. I bet you knew how many. And everything they said was spot on. You're talking about 16-year-old boys have a better sense of what wasn't happening.
Would
and
you
the
fire,
fundamentals,
Judy, would you fire Kaplan?
Without a doubt. Somebody's feet have to be held to the fire. And I'm not a fire the coach person. I've been defending Brett Brown for years because if the players don't execute, then, you know, the coach is only so much he can do. But in this case, it leads me back to this participation trophy world that we live in. No, no, no. Everybody else hustled. You did it. So you're damn right. I'm going to single you out right here in the dugout. Fox is going to put it on TV, and maybe next time you'll think, damn, I was embarrassed. I better dig it out next time. I don't care if you're 4 or 44. The same rules apply. And nobody wants to hurt feelings or step on toes or whatever it is. And this is what you're getting. I'm afraid this is going to be the world we live in. So hopefully, because the owner? Middleton. Said, he's going to bring a trophy back or die trying. Well, here's my son. I guess he's going to be dead. I'm like, oh, Lord have mercy. Like, I'm like, please don't say that.
No.
I have to bribe him to go to the game tomorrow. I'm like, look, we still have to support them. It's our team. If everybody quit on them, they quit. They're quitting on us. I'm like, wow. I know, but we have to be better. Yeah. But how long can I sell it? Like, they see the product.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, who disappeared, Judy?
Bridget Fonda.
She sure did.
She did.
Yes.
It's a great answer right there.
Remember Point of No Return?
She was awesome.
Good stuff, Judy.
Yeah.
She was a legit star.
Yeah,
she sure was.
And she did just disappear.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
No, me neither.
I don't know. All right, let's go to Nate in Turnersville. Hey, Nate.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Doing.
I want to speak to John Middleton here. I know either he's listening. I'm certain he's listening or one of his people are listening right now.
The floor is yours, Nate. Go ahead.
All right. John Middleton needs to hold a closed-door meeting with everybody, anyone and everyone that has anything to do with on-field play. That's management, coaching, your president, GM, everybody. Put them all in one room and just go completely off and talk about this laissez-faire attitude with this entire organization. It's completely unacceptable. This team has stolen my summers for years. It's my favorite sport. He needs to go in there and tell everyone, players as well, that if this type of behavior, this lack of caring, the lack of pride, if this continues, nobody's off the chopping block.
See, here's the thing, Nate. On one hand, I love your idea. On another hand, I don't. So here's the thing. Obviously, as a Phillies fan, it resonates with me, right? Go in there. You know, just tear him apart, all that stuff. But on the other hand, it's like if it requires that, then he's got the wrong manager. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like because it's like, let's say even they come out supercharged for two games, and okay, but then they go back to just doing the nonsense they do, and then Kapler permits nonsense. Well, then again, you have the wrong manager. So,
well, we don't. Again, we don't understand, we don't know the exact dynamic that exists between Matt Klentak and Gabe Kapler. Is it being directed by Klentak that Kapler has to maintain his cool and, you know, not single guys out?
Don't you think Middleton, though, doesn't seem like that kind of guy, John?
I don't think Middleton does, no.
Right? So fundamentally, then, like, I guess more than anything today, the main thing as a Phillies fan that I would like to know that we don't know and won't know the answer by the end of the day, but that I'd like to know, what is John Middleton thinking right now?
But that's to Nate's point. Like, if they don't know that this is not working for John Middleton, I do think it's important that he let everyone know. Last night at the ballpark, how many people did you talk to who said this is an institutional failure?
Yeah, sure.
Like, from top to bottom, this thing needs to be stripped down and rebuilt from scratch. Like, I can't. Everyone I spoke to, that was the message consistently. So if I'm Gabe Kapler right now, I'm thinking, man, I don't know what he's being told from above.
Right.
But I'm thinking, what I'm doing has not worked. I need to change or my head's on a platter.
Yep.
So, like, it's going to have to be, you know, make examples of guys, hold them accountable, or else I'm going to be on the street. Like, and I do think, Nate, I do think it's a good idea to get everyone, like, in the same groove. Like, this is going to be a new start to our season right now because something drastic has to occur.
Yeah, and then Vince goes out there and pitches tonight. Can they do the speech tomorrow, Nate, after Vince starts, so Vince isn't the first start? All right, Nate, who disappeared?
Richie Rich's favorite girl, Britney Spears.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she didn't disappear.
Well, she was doing the Vegas stuff, but she's disappeared now.
Well,
different. She stepped down from her Vegas.
I mean, she's had some issues.
Show.
And she stepped away.
Your dad was sick.
She was different, though. Like, Bridget Fonda hasn't made a movie since 2002.
Yeah. I mean, Britney Spears.
Disappeared.
Wow. Yeah, Britney Spears was still making millions in Vegas as recently as probably 6 months ago or 9 months ago. I mean, you know. All right, 888-729-9494. We're coming up. Some of what Gabe Kapler had to say after the game. We'll get to that. Continue to rock the calls as well. Joe DeCamera, John Ritchie on WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.